Thanks to ExpressVPN for supporting the Productivity Show. Now, you probably don't think too much about internet privacy on your home network, but you probably should. ExpressVPN will secure your privacy and protect your information. Visit expressvpn.com/TPS and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1 year package. Welcome to the Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. Do you find yourself with scattered thoughts? Maybe you're not sure what to work on at the start of your day, or maybe you go to bed with thoughts, tasks, and ideas swirling around in your head? One of the most underrated but powerful productivity techniques is to journal. It's something that anyone can do, and it's so easy to get started. However, there's a big difference between just jotting down some thoughts and journaling to really improve your productivity. And that is what we're going to help you with in this episode. We're going to take you through 3 tips to start journaling, and we're going to show you how you can be consistent with it going forward. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/301. And now, on with the show. All right. Hello, Tan. How are you?
I'm doing great today. This is a busy day for recording, teaching, educational stuff. This is like the latter part of my day on a Wednesday. For those who don't know, Wednesday is always our meeting day, so we have a lot of meetings. And also, at the beginning of the day, we did kind of like a dry run of a presentation. So I've been talking a lot today, and this is just another continuation of that.
Yep, Tan's basically been on Zoom all day long. So I know some of you in corporate who are moving to work from home are very familiar with this. So I guess we should start by introducing ourselves. My name is Brooks. I'm the Operations Director of Asian Efficiency.
And I'm Tan, founder of Asian Efficiency, where we help people become more productive at work and in life.
And we are talking about journaling today. But before we do that, we always like to start every episode with our top 3 resources. So this is things that we've been loving these days, or members of the team have, or the community. So I'm going to go take you through those right now. Number 1 is the Best Self Journal. So this is a 13-week action planner that helps you set, plan, and track progress towards your biggest goals. We actually had the creator of the Best Self Journal, Catherine Lavery, on the podcast pretty recently in TPS 284. So if you want to learn more about that, check that out. Number 2 is the Jarvis Standing Desk. So I am standing at the Jarvis Standing Desk as I record. I think you have one too, Tan. Is that right?
No, I have a multi-table desk.
It's a different brand. Well, anyway, I have the Jarvis Desk. It is a convertible sit-stand with just one button, has memory settings. I've really been enjoying it since I've had it. And number 3 is a book that I have not personally read, but a member of the team, the AE team, recommended it. So I thought I would pass that on to you as well. It's called Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It by Kamal Ravikant. And it's about committing to the daily practice of repeating that phrase, I love myself. And when you love yourself, life loves you back. So I'm actually intrigued by this. So I'm going to be checking this out as well. So like I said, we're going to be talking about journaling. And so this episode is for anyone who's wanted to start journaling, but you're not really sure where to start, or maybe you have started it, but you're looking for a few ideas to make it better and to use it to actually tie into your productivity. Or maybe you've kind of started and stopped journaling over the years, but you've never been able to do it consistently and make it stick. And so we're going to be talking about journaling today, but I do want to mention that next week, from the day that this recording goes live, on June 2nd, we're going to be doing a DTDT, or Do the Damn Thing, call for our dojo audience on journaling. And so if you want to check that out, we've had really good feedback for these DTDT calls. They help people not just learn about a topic, but actually put it into practice. So just go to theproductivityshow.com/implement. And you can check that out and you can register today. And it's a really great way to take productivity knowledge into action. So we're going to be talking about journaling. Tan, I know you've written articles about journaling over the years. What do you think that connection between journaling and productivity is?
You know, when I first started learning about journaling, I thought this is something that 14-year-old girls were doing. And this is like what they do to kind of like write in their notebook and color it and, you know, write some thoughts down. But I never knew that it was actually a really useful tool for productivity. And I kind of discovered it by accident when I was just like working on Asian efficiency and just exploring different tools. And as you do your research and see what other people do to stay productive, you start to notice that some people use a journal to kind of keep track of their thoughts, set intentions. They kind of figure out ways to reflect and see if they made the right decision, wrong decision, or if they learned something from what they did that day. And they kind of use it as a way to kind of keep track of the things that they did and were thinking of, as a way to use that as improving in the future. And so a journal is very useful to improve your happiness, to improve your productivity, to be more effective. It helps you clarify your thinking. It helps you accomplish your goals faster. It helps you prioritize. It helps you have lots of clarity about what you need to do and what you shouldn't be doing. So there's a lot of benefits to journaling. And a lot of people skip this because they don't see necessarily the value in it, or it might seem like it takes a lot of time, or they simply just don't know how to get started. So today's episode is going to be really powerful for you if you're in one of those categories. And so let's just start with the first tip here. We have three tips for you today. And the first one is to define your purpose for journaling. As I mentioned, there's different reasons why you could be journaling, and there's no one size fits all when it comes to journaling. The way you journal, Brooks, will be different than the way I do it, even though we kind of have like similar outcomes or intentions for how we want to use a journal. And so for you, you want to figure out, okay, why do I want to journal, right? And there's a couple of reasons and different ways you can use a journal. So a couple of things to explore there would be to say, hey, do you want to use this for goal setting, right? Do you want to use this for reviewing decisions? Do you want to use this for clarifying your thinking? Oftentimes using a journal is really impactful for that. Do you want to use it to solve a problem, or do you just want to use it for stress relief? You just want to journal something and put it away and know that it's out of your head. Or do you just want to use it as a brain dump and just use that as a way to keep track of things and knowing that it's on pen and paper or somewhere digitally stored and not in your brain, right? So there's so many reasons why you can use it. And I just mentioned a few of them that are most common. And I'm curious to hear, Brooks, how do you use a journal?
Yeah, well, the first time I started journaling, and it's so true what you said about the purpose, and this is something that I wouldn't really skip over for people, because the first time I started journaling was because I kept hearing people say that you should start journaling, that journaling was good. So that's why I started. I thought, okay, well, people journal, all these productivity gurus recommend that I journal, so I'm going to do that too. So that's what I did. And what I found was that was not a good why. Just doing something because other people do it is not a, or other people recommend it, was not necessarily the best why for me. I started great, but it didn't really stick because I didn't have that purpose. So later, when I restarted journaling, the reason why is because I actually had an intention. I used my journal as a way to clarify my day and to try to learn and improve from the things that I was doing. And that switching that mindset from just doing it for the sake of doing it to actually intentionally doing it has made all the difference. And that is what has helped me stick. How about you? What was your why and intention for it?
When I first started journaling, I never had a clear intention or even an idea of how to use it. I just knew, okay, I need to start journaling. So I started doing it digitally with simply just using something like Day One and just honestly just whatever came to mind, I would just write it down and kind of kept it literally as a journal of what happened that day. And I didn't see a lot of value in that. So I kind of stopped doing that after a while. And then it wasn't until a few months later when someone pointed out to me, well, Tam, what if you use it to just write down the things you learned that day and just review it every now and then? And I thought, oh, okay, that could be interesting. So I simply wrote down every single day and answered the question, what did I learn today? And I just kept answering that question every single day. And I forced myself to really think about, okay, what actually did I do today? And what actually did I learn? And as I kept going, after about 2 or 3 weeks or so, I was rereading my entries and I realized, wow, there's actually a lot of growth. There's actually a lot of things that happened where I learned a lot of things and I totally have forgotten about a lot of them. And then I started learning about gratitude and how, you know, if you want to keep yourself sane, if you want to keep yourself happy, expressing gratitude every day is really important. You can make that part of your meditation, but it's also really helpful to make that part of your journaling practice. And so every single morning, I start writing down, what am I grateful for? And I always force myself at least three things to write down. Sometimes I had more, but always a minimum was three. And so I just kept writing that, and I noticed, wow, I'm actually much more calm. I'm much happier. I start to realize like how fortunate I am. And so I just started using that as a way to kind of like keep myself grounded. And then over time, my journaling practice just keep growing, and it grew to something where now like I do write every single morning what I'm grateful for. I do write all the major decisions I made that day. And I start writing down all the things I want to do that day. I also start writing down what I learned that day. And so my journal practice now expanded quite a bit. But this took me about, I don't know, 10 years or so to really get to that stage. And so for anyone that's listening right now, don't expect to write that much stuff down right out of the gate. I did it, you know, one question at a time, one tiny piece at a time over 10 years, right? So you don't have to do everything all at once. So again, you could use it for, you know, goal setting, solving problems, you know, writing down decisions, gratitude. Just pick one that you want to use the tool for, which is in this case, the journal. And we'll talk about the medium and the technology, whether it's like pen and paper or digital for you. But just figure out first, what is the one thing you want to use this for? And then focus on that. And then worry about expanding and other things down the line.
One thing that I found, and this is kind of like everyone does it their own way, of course. That's the awesome thing about journaling. But one thing that has helped me with the gratitude piece, which is something I do too, is rules is a little strong, but maybe I should say it better. Like what I try to do is try not to repeat things that I'm grateful for. So if I'm grateful for, I don't know, that I'm happy to live in Vancouver, then, you know, I don't want to be every second day, if I can't think of something better, oh, I'm happy to live in Vancouver. So I try to have it a loosely held rule to not repeat gratitude things and to try and always come up with something new. That's number one. And number two is I try not to express gratitude for my immediate family members unless it's for specific things, because then you feel like, well, I love my kids, so I guess I should be grateful for them, which of course is true. Of course I am. But then you almost feel like there's things you quote unquote should be grateful for, or at least express. So I try to say, okay, I'm grateful for them every day. That's like the baseline. But if there's something that was particularly great with my family, that's when I might use it. But you know, do you when it comes to gratitude.
Yeah. And we have a course inside the dojo as well about journaling that you can check out. So if you're a dojo member, please go dive in. There's some great training in there when it comes to journaling. And again, on June 2nd, we're going to be doing the do the damn thing call, where we will walk you through some of the processes that we have developed and actually have you implement live as well. And if you can't make it live, you can always watch the recording as well. Just be sure to go to theproductivityshow.com/implement and you'll be able to join or watch the recording afterwards as well. And if you want some free resources, we have another podcast episode, TPS69. You can go check that out. So if you go to theproductivityshow.com/69, this is with Kendra. She talks about how she created a journaling habit as well and how she uses it, especially through tough times. And then also we have a blog post as well, 5 reasons why you need to start journaling. So if you need some more encouragement to start, those are some resources for you to check out.
We record these podcast episodes live in front of our dojo audience, our dojo community, and dojo user Chris O mentions that he's been journaling since 2000 and is mostly about what he's been doing. So he was mentioning that he looked back at his journal entry recently to see what he was doing on September 12th, 2001. So the day after 9/11. So that is one interesting thing about, and we're going to get into this a little bit, but that's one interesting thing about having a journal, and especially when you have a long-term journal, it's just a fascinating snapshot of where we were at a certain time in life. All right, so we'll move on to tip number two. Tip number one was define your purpose for journaling. So we'll move on to tip number two, and Tan touched on this a little bit, which is pick a medium that you enjoy. And this is really, really important, because when you hear people talk about journaling, you'll hear people talk about their awesome journaling systems. And I'm sure Tan and I will mention that as well. And you'll hear people who have this physical notebook that they really love or this app that they really love. But trying to use a medium that is not something that really resonates with you is a sure sign that you're probably not going to stick with it long term. So it should really, really be something that you enjoy. At a very high level, there's kind of two main ways people journal: paper journaling and digital journaling. So traditional route is pen and paper. This is something people have been journaling for hundreds and hundreds of years, is this idea of having pen and paper. For a lot of people, that is their preferred way to journal. There's just something very tactile and very real about sitting down with a pen and paper and jotting out thoughts. People say scientific studies have shown that you remember more when you write by hand, and it just makes you slow down and process and think about what you're writing a little bit more than typing. The nice thing about doing it on paper, you have more freedom to draw. You can make little sketches, you can jot, you can easily highlight, underline, draw arrows, all these things you can theoretically do digital, but it's just a native with pen and paper. We mentioned the Best Self Journal, which is a great and popular journal in our community. Another journaling, and this isn't a specific type of journaling, this is more a methodology of journaling, is the bullet journal. A lot of people in the dojo community and our productivity show listeners as well swear by the bullet journal as a way of, it's a combination of journaling and getting things done as well. And we actually have a course in the dojo all about bullet journaling. So if that's something you're interested in checking out, if you register for that, our DTDT call, you have access to that bullet journal course as well. And that's the pen and paper. It's kind of funny that I talked about that because this is not how I personally journal. But Tan, do you use pen and paper or are you a digital person?
When I first started off, I was completely digital because I was always against paper and I wanted to be cool and I wanted to be like, yeah, you know, I can go without paper and travel all over the world and not carry, you know, loads of journals with me or keep storage anywhere. I was feeling like locally or internationally independent in that sense. And so I was digital for many years. I used an app such as Day One. I used Mac Journal. I tried a bunch of different things, and even though they were really useful, I even used Evernote at one point to kind of journal and put stuff down. I found it really helpful, but at one point I transitioned to using paper just because I wanted to try it as an experiment, just to see what it was like. And a few years later, I'm still on pen and paper. I actually think that's my preferred way of doing it now, just because I spend so much time behind the screen, behind a computer, that it's kind of nice for me to disconnect and say, hey, the computer, my relationship with you is work, and when I'm away, I want to be doing other things than work. And so when I step away from my computer, instead of journaling and kind of like having that mental state, I like to separate myself and just say, hey, let me grab something physical, sit on the couch or sit on the floor or lay on the bed and just like journal a little bit there and put my thoughts down that way. And I find that it's a little bit more soothing, a little bit more relaxing. I also tend to remember more stuff. So now I'm more of a pen and paper. I'm curious, are you completely digital? Because, you know, you are Mr. Paperless after all.
Yeah, anyone who knows me or knows my work will not be surprised that I am totally digital. I did used to carry around a paper notebook that I jotted things down, but that I left behind a while ago. So I am personally team digital. That doesn't mean that I don't see all the benefits of a paper journal, and I totally... sometimes I do think to myself, oh, maybe I should try it out. But I just know myself and I know that digital, it is really the way for me. Some nice things about doing digital journaling is less physical clutter. You don't have notebooks that you need to carry around or have there and then have to do something with it after. Things can be synchronized to your different devices. So if you have things that you want to jot down or think of, you can fire up your phone or your iPad or your computer and just journal basically from wherever you are. You don't have to have your book with you. You mentioned Day One, which is a very, very popular journaling app. And that's actually one I used to use. I used the old version before they went subscription model. That's what I used. But now I've actually switched to using Ulysses, which is not a journaling app. It's a writing app. But I figured that is where I personally do all my writing when it comes to if I'm writing articles or newsletters or blog posts or scripts or anything. Ulysses is where I do my writing. So I figured it just made sense, since that's something that I'm already kind of conditioned to use, that it would be less friction for me to keep on using that, and that is available from all my different devices. Being stuck at home these days, you probably don't think too much about internet privacy on your own home network. Fire up incognito mode on your browser and no one can see what you're doing, right? Well, that's actually not true. Even in incognito mode, your online activity can still be traced. Even if you clear your browsing history, your internet service provider can still see every single website that you visited. That's why even when I'm at home, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data with best-in-class encryption, so your information is always protected. You can go online with confidence from your computer, tablet, or smartphone. ExpressVPN works with them all. Just tap one button and you're protected. Now, I've been a fan of ExpressVPN for a long time, so I was happy to see that it was rated the fastest and most trusted VPN on the market. It was rated number one by CNET, Wired, The Verge, and more. It's always nice when my choices line up with the choices that all these publications recommend as well. We all know that there's so much tracking online, and it seems like everything you do leaves digital fingerprints all over the place. That's why even when I'm at home, I like to tap the button and turn on ExpressVPN. Now, I don't do anything weird, you probably don't either, but I just like to know that my privacy is protected. Back in the good old days when we could travel, I relied on ExpressVPN to keep me safe and keep the sites I use working, no matter where I was in the world. I also like how it's so easy to use. You don't need to mess around in settings to turn it on. Just one click or one tap, and I'm protected and anonymous. So protect your online activity today with the VPN that I trust to secure my privacy. Visit my special link at expressvpn.com/TPS and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/TPS. expressvpn.com/TPS to learn more. One thing that I personally do, or I guess I should say this, especially when it comes to digital, though with paper, there's books that you can buy that do this as well. There's kind of two kind of camps. There's the digital camp and the paper camp. Another way to break down people who journal typically is people who journal freeform and people who journal with prompts. So maybe it's a notebook that you buy that already has questions written, or maybe it's a set of questions that you use when you journal. Some people don't like that. Some people just want to sit down and write, which I totally get. That personally has never worked for me. I am more of a prompts person. How about you, Tan? Do you just write freeform, whatever comes to mind, or do you have prompts that you follow?
No, I always have prompts, but that's also because I try and use different paper journals. And so, for example, right now I'm using the 5-minute journal as an example, and then sometimes I'll use the best self journal, and then another time I'll use someone else's. Part of that is market research, I will fully admit, just to kind of see what's out there, because maybe at some point we might want to create our own. Who knows? That might happen at some point. But also, I'm kind of curious to see what other people do. I personally am never a big fan of free flow just because I can always do that whenever. And I always do it when I have really tough decisions to make, or if I feel really stressed about something, then I'll use free flow all the time. But I'm more of a fan of having prompts and asking the same questions, or having the same sort of like outcomes, and just doing that over and over and over and over and over again. Because then when I look back, I can kind of see what I did, where the growth was, what I did right, what I did wrong. I kind of go from there. Whereas with free flow, it's more of a free flow to me is more of a stress reliever rather than like a growth tool or a productivity tool.
So the funny thing about this, I do prompts as well, like I mentioned. Matt, who's in the live recording from the dojo, mentions that he uses an ever-changing text expander snippet with trigger questions, and he picked it up from AE, from Asian Efficiency, back in 2014. And the very funny thing about that is that's exactly how I started as well. We have an oldie but a goodie article about how to get started with journaling, which I'll include in the show notes. And the first time I decided to start journaling, I did the exact same thing. I based it off of that article and I made a text expander snippet, which I still use to this day. It's for me, it's called semicolon diary. So that's what I type, although that's even more automated now, which I'll get into in a bit. But for me, I used the prompts that were in that article. Now, one thing that I've found, I've refined it over the years, because one thing that I've found is if you are going to use prompts, make sure to have them be things that are actually useful and meaningful to you. because I used to have other prompts and I've tried different things over the years. And the friction of having to, quote unquote, come up with something from someone else's prompt question was causing me that friction and causing me to kind of skip things or even to not journal, because it became work of coming up with answers to questions. So for me, I have a set of questions and my questions are split into two sections when I journal, a yesterday section and a now section, which I can't remember, might come from that article, the AE article, I can't remember. But in the yesterday question, basically I say, what did I do yesterday? What lessons did I learn? What could I have done better or more effectively? And what book did I read? So that's my yesterday questions. And then my now questions are, what am I thankful for right now? How am I feeling right now? What are my plans for today? And what is one thing I must accomplish today? And I also have another section called random end of day thoughts, which I'm not super consistent about doing. The other things I'm very consistent about, but the random end of day thoughts, sometimes I will revisit my journal. And it's like you said, Tan, it's when I have something going on, if I just want to like clear my head and think things through, that's when I tend to use that section. But the other section, which I do first thing in the morning, having that format has really made it sticky for me. And that's one thing Alice in the dojo mentions as well. She says she's become more consistent with journaling ever since I added my MITs, most important tasks, to my daily journal entry. And I found the same thing, because it kind of gives your journal a purpose. For those who are not natural journalers like myself, it helps when it has a purpose like that. And so that's what I found.
Man, yours is so rigid and structured. I love it.
That's just how, you know me, anyone who's listened to the show for a long time must know by now that I work best when in that way. But I totally respect people who just sit down with a blank piece of paper or a blank document in Word or whatever, or day one, and just start writing. Like I really admire people who can do that, but I am not one of those people.
One thing to be aware of with journaling is that if you accept the idea that your thoughts create your reality, right, then if you ask yourself the right questions, you start to think about things that eventually become your reality, right? So, for example, I see, Brooks, you mentioned that you have a question in there that says, what book did I read? And by putting that in there, I'm guessing as a result of that, you ended up reading more. This is because you're prompting yourself every single day to think about that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I put it in there in the first place, because that was at the time that I wanted to make reading a habit. And so I put it in there because, like you said, if you put it in there, then it becomes something that helps you stick. So yeah, that's a great point. If you have a habit that you want to build, putting it in your journal, putting something about it in your journal, it just helps you stick with it. So that's exactly why I did it.
That's why I think it's so important to not put any negative questions in there, because if you are thinking about that all the time, again, your thoughts create your reality. I would recommend that you avoid adding negative questions in there, just because if you think about them all the time, eventually they become true, right? Or your brain just starts to look for things to validate that. And so there's ways to rewrite certain things or to make them a little bit more constructive, right? So for example, you know, one of your questions, Brooks, is what could I have done better or more effectively? Like, that's a great reframe, because you could also write it in a very negative way and say, hey, where did I mess up today? Or where did I suck today? Or something like that, right? And even though we're kind of asking the same question, but it's phrased very differently, so it makes us think, you know, and look for things differently, because now you're looking for opportunities. Could I have been more effective or done things better, rather than saying, let's focus on the negative and drill down on that. And so I think it's really useful to point that out for people that, you know, if you are giving yourself prompts, I would say keep them constructive, keep them positive as much as you can. And if you want to add a habit in there, I think it's a great way to do that as well.
Agreed. All right. So that is number two, tip number two, which is pick a medium that you enjoy. Number three is a really important thing, at least for me, which is make it a routine. Decide on a fixed time of the day or tie it to some sort of habit when you will journal, and schedule it in your calendar if that's something that you need to do, or have it in your task manager or something. But have a specific time in your morning ritual or evening ritual or afternoon back from lunch, something like that. Have a routine time that you do your journal and try your best to stick to it. Because if you're looking to find time to do journal, or you'll journal when you kind of think of it, it's probably not going to happen. So the best thing to do is to make it part of your routine. One thing that we found, though, is to make journaling a kind of relaxing activity, not just another item on your to-do list. I know I just said put it in your to-do list, which is something that I personally do, but I can see the other side of it too, which is that you don't want journaling to be a chore. Like, I have it on my to-do list just because I have my whole morning ritual in OmniFocus in that way, but I don't think of it as a task that I need to do in a day. For me, it's an opportunity to succeed every single day by having the journaling, because that's what I think of it. So I really recommend that you think of it the same way, not as a chore or a task, but as an opportunity to help you. Because the more you let journaling be a fun way to either plan or unwind or both, the more that you'll actually want to do it. And we actually have a blog post called How to Make Journaling a Ritual, which we'll link to in the show notes. So definitely recommend that you check that out. What's your journaling routine, Tan? How do you do it and make sure that you stick to it?
For me, it's part of my morning ritual. So every day when I start my day, I always grab my journal and then spend maybe 5 minutes or so in there to write down what I'm grateful for, the things I want to accomplish that day, and put some random thoughts down as well. And then at the end of the day, before I go to bed, as part of my evening ritual, I have it there as well to kind of put some random thoughts in there and kind of like a little bit more free flow and kind of like what I learned that day and that kind of stuff. And so for me, it's very structured. So morning and evening, and both times don't take more than 5 minutes, I think is even a stretch. I think in the morning, I spend a little bit more time, whereas in the evening, it's kind of like a quick jot down and kind of like putting my stray thoughts away and just put it in there. Because one thing I've noticed is that the more you can kind of like empty your head at the end of the night, the better you sleep. And typically what I've seen personally, I don't know if I can ever prove it scientifically, but personally, I've seen my REM sleep go up quite a bit by just emptying my head. And I think also having a meditation at night will help a lot with that too. But really, just if you go to bed all stressed and worried, it's hard to fall asleep and it's hard to get good quality sleep as well. And that's where I think the journal is so helpful at night, is because it helps me relieve stress, right? So if I have like a tough decision to make, or I'm thinking through a problem that I can't solve, or even like, hey, I need to do this thing tomorrow, instead of just letting it simmer in my head, I will actually just write it down in my journal. So I know it's like, okay, it's out of my head now. It's on my journal. I can check it tomorrow and now I can just fall asleep, right? And so I find that really helpful. And you know, one idea I do like about what I think it was Thomas Edison who said this, like if you have a challenge or a problem you want to solve, go to bed with it. And then the next day you'll typically know what to do. And I do like that, right? So if I have like problem or challenge I want to solve, I do take that sometimes. But it comes from the point of like, hey, I want to learn and grow, not from a place of, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed, I need to like, you know, figure this thing out. Because that's a totally different way of doing that, right? And that's where I think the journal is so powerful, is to kind of relieve that stress. Because again, sleep is really important for productivity. The better you sleep, the more energy, the more focus you have, right? And so I think a journal is really helpful for that. And again, morning and evening for me.
Yeah, the funny thing, I'll try and track down the episode. I'll try to remember which episode this is. But the thing that actually led us to doing this episode in the first place is one of our episodes a couple months ago. In the middle of the episode, I had an existential crisis when I realized it just dawned on me while we were recording the episode that my problem that I was having with sleeping might be really related to the fact that my journaling practice had kind of fallen apart. So you can hear me having a crisis on podcasts, which is always fun. And definitely since restarting my journal and making it a consistent thing, implementing the things that we're talking about today actually has really helped me with my sleep, because things just get out of your head. I'm living proof that what Tan was just talking about is absolutely true. For me, when I journal, it's in the morning and I have it part of my morning ritual. So I, you know, get up, make coffee for myself and my wife, organize the kids' breakfast, read, all that sort of stuff, come down to my computer. Very first thing I do is journal. So I fire up Ulysses, like I mentioned, and start my journaling. And I actually have this, you know, me being me, I have this ridiculous automation where I hit one keystroke and it opens up my journal. It types in all my prompts. It opens up OmniFocus on the other side of the screen with the correct perspective so I can see what I did yesterday. It's total bananas. It's not really something you can explain on a podcast, but if you register for a DTDT session on journaling, theproductivityshow.com/implement, I'll share exactly how it works and I'll share the scripts and stuff like that that I use because it is kind of ridiculous. But the nice thing about that is it reduces friction. So I just hit one keystroke and start typing and it's really, really great. So I do that right when I sit down at the computer, finish off planning my day that way, and then it's go and implement.
Brooks, people in the chat on Slack are calling you bananas for, I'm going to guess you're using something like Keyboard Maestro to kind of launch everything. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, Keyboard Maestro is definitely the glue that holds all that together. Absolutely true.
It's kind of like you press one key and this whole computer turns into like this journaling machine that's ready to go for you to put your thoughts down and receive all the wisdom that you have inside your brain.
Exactly. Yeah. If I could get away from the part of typing, if it could just like read my brain and fill out the prompts, that'd be even better. So maybe that'll be next year.
But again, I think one thing that you said there is so important is that it shouldn't feel like a chore. It shouldn't feel like a task. It should really feel like something you look forward to. And when you heard Brooks's prompts earlier with all those questions, you might go, oh my gosh, that's so much. But keep in mind, Brooks has been journaling for a really long time, like, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, if not longer. And this is something that he developed over many, many years, right? And I'm pretty sure, Brooks, you started with 1 or 2 questions and worked your way up to like 7, 8, or 9 questions you have today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And once you get the hang of doing it, like it sounds like a lot, I suppose. I don't really think about that way because it's just so second nature to me that, like you said, it just goes through really, really quickly. But it didn't really start that way. It started very simply. Definitely did not have journaling automations when I started, not anything like that. It's all kind of iterated and went from there.
Yeah, so definitely make it a routine. And if it takes more than 5 minutes in the beginning, I think you're probably spending way too much time. Make it really simple. For me, when I first started off, I simply just answered the question, what did I learn today? And I just wrote that down for a really long time. And then I moved up to adding another question and then another question over time. And so again, I've been doing this for over 10 years now, and I've only like 5 or 6 questions now. So you don't have to have a lot of questions. You can just start off with one, make that a routine, make that part of your daily life. And once you start to see the value in it and doing it consistently, you start to see that it's really fun and becomes something that you enjoy. And then it just becomes easier and easier to stick to. But then again, you need to have all the other stuff in place as well, right? So having a good why, like a good reason why you're doing this, right? Having the right medium in place. You might have to figure out if you want to do paper or tech first and figure out which medium you like the most and then kind of sticking with one over time, right? So it is a journey. It's a process. But once you get it and you have it down, and it is part of your daily life and it is a routine, then you'll start to notice it's actually really fun and enjoyable.
All right. So we said we were going to do 3 tips, and the 3 tips we shared were 1, define your purpose for journaling. 2, pick a medium that you enjoy. And 3, make it a routine. However, when we were thinking about it just before recording, we realized we should probably do a bonus tip as well. So we're going to slide in a 4th tip here, which is something that I actually learned from Tan, believe it or not. Or I shouldn't say believe it or not. That sounds bad. But this is
believe it or not.
It's funny. We received a review of the podcast recently, and the review started surprisingly ... It's good. So that was, hey, we aim to please. Yeah. So let me rephrase that. This is something I actually learned from Tan and has been really, really effective. And that is to regularly review your journal entries. It's not something I didn't used to do, but now I do. And it's been it's a game changer for me. So basically, what you want to do is pick a time period, whatever that time period is, what works for you, and reread your journal entries you've written and just reflect like what went well, what could you do better. It's hard to know when you're in the moment these things, but once you read over for a period of time, you start to notice patterns. It's a simple check-in, lets you see where you were and where you're going. For me personally, I review monthly. So every month I have an OmniFocus task that says review last month's journal. So I just go through with a cup of coffee and just read through it. I don't do anything like hardcore. I just read through it. And there's certain things. The main sections I read is the what did I do yesterday, just so I can get a sense of the things that I do. What could have gone better? What am I grateful for? Because that reminds me. And what happens is when you do that, as an example, recently, last time I reviewed it, I noticed that there was something that I kept having in that what could have gone better section. It was just something that I didn't realize at the time, but I more than once wrote like, oh, I should have done X. And then once you realize that you keep bringing this up, that's a sure sign that you need to redo things or make some sort of process improvements so that you're not saying a few times a week, I should have done X. So that is the type of value of reviewing your journal, having those triggers to investigate and improve. I'm not going to ask you if you review your journal, Tom, because I just said I learned it from you. So maybe you can share what you do.
Yeah, I used to do this once a month. And I would also do it every year at the end of the year, where I would go through everything I ever wrote down to kind of see what happened and where I had a lot of growth. And as of maybe, I want to say like the last 6 months or so, I've been doing it every single week as a way to kind of like cycle even faster. And so every Sunday, I go over my journal to kind of look at what I wrote down. And one of the questions I always ask myself is, what could I have done better? Or how can I make tomorrow better? And one of the things I've noticed when I ask myself that question, I start to notice very similar patterns. So for example, there was a week where I wrote down for like 4 or 5 times in 1 week, I wish I went to bed earlier. And once I read that, when I did my Sunday review, and I said, oh my gosh, this happened like 4 or 5 times in 1 week. Guess what? This next week, I'm going to go to bed really early. And I kind of like changed my schedule around. So I canceled like certain social events. I put it on my calendar to have like very specific bedtimes. I kind of like adjusted my weekly planning. So I knew I had some sort of structure or prompt or alert in place for me to trigger myself to say, hey, Tian, you need to go to bed early, right? And that only came because I was looking for an opportunity by reviewing my journal entries and noticing that pattern of like, hey, I consistently wrote down in 1 week, I wish I went to bed early. Like, I have to do something about this. There's a reason I wrote that down. And so the next week after that, you know, I went to bed much earlier every single week. And all the times when I didn't go to bed early, I made a very conscious decision knowing that, hey, I'm doing this intentionally. And maybe I will pay the price for it the next day. But at least I made a conscious decision about it rather than just kind of going with the flow and not, you know, not really being purposeful or being intentional in that sense. And so this is where I find that so helpful. And once I kind of went to a weekly cycle, I noticed I just wanted to focus on just making one major improvement every single week. And if you do that, you start to notice that things just move faster. And sometimes, you know, I still have to learn that same lesson multiple times. So for example, 2 weeks ago, I noticed the same pattern again. I kept writing down, I wish I went to bed earlier, because I stayed up late a few nights. And I said, oh, okay. You know, I did this before. I know how to address this. I know how to fix this. So this upcoming week, as I'm planning ahead, I know I need to go to bed a little earlier, right? So I look at like my Oura Ring stats, which is kind of like a fitness tracker. I'm looking at my energy levels, my recovery levels. Maybe I need to float. Maybe I need to go to like an ice bath or something. So I'm just looking at all these different metrics every week. And I find that, yeah, looking at my journal every single week has been really impactful.
That's actually a good point. Maybe that's something I should think about, is upping the cycle. Alice says something in the dojo, in the live recording chat. Alice says something which I hadn't really considered, which is, she says, reviewing's hard for me, maybe because I think it'll be like looking at my high school diary where I'm totally embarrassed, which I can see that. But first of all, I think when we review, at least me personally, I'm not going back too far. Like for me, I go back a month, and then at the end of the year, I go back for the entire year. But I guess one perspective one could have on that is, if one is not embarrassed at the things we did and the way we thought a long time ago, then we're possibly not growing. So in some ways, the way you could rephrase it is, if you look back at your old stuff and you're embarrassed, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a sign of growth.
Yeah, when I look at our first course that we ever built, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is terrible. This, oh my gosh, compared to what we have today, this is like, it's so cringy, right? Same thing with the podcast. When I listen and review the first couple podcasts we've ever done, I'm like, whoa, I sound so nervous. I would say a lot. I like stumble over my words and stuff like that still happens every now and then. But I'm so embarrassed in many ways when I look at that stuff. And a lot of people find it very helpful, right? But it's the same thing with journal entries. Like when you reread your old ones, you go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was thinking that, or I can't believe I actually believed that thought, or I can't believe that, you know, my lover said this or whatever. And you just kind of joke about it and you can see how much you've grown over time. And that comes from rereading your own entries because you start to see where you are now compared to where you were, I don't know, a year ago or even a few months ago. And you start to see, wow, I've grown so much from that. And when we have that mental growth, which is kind of like invisible, it's not like a fitness thing, right? Where if you have a fitness goal, it's kind of a visual thing because you can look in the mirror and say, okay, I actually changed, right? You take before and after pictures. You can also look at a scale. You can look at body measurements. Like it's a very easy way to kind of see that you made progress. But when it comes to like personal development and growth, how do you measure something like that? It's very challenging. And this is where the journal is so powerful because only you can really judge and say, and assess if you were growing or not, because you can only look back and look at your thoughts and decisions that you've made and things you've done and say, okay, I actually learned from that and I've grown from that or not. And if you don't have a journal, then you can't really do that. So you're always like on this perpetual train of like, am I growing? Am I learning? And you're in this perpetual cycle of like seeking, but never looking back and realizing how much you've grown. So this is where, again, journaling is so powerful. And when we get to December, when we talk about like annual reviews and stuff like that, we always talk about, you know, did you keep a journal? And most people go, no, I didn't. Anyway, right? This is one of the reasons why we want to do this episode here today, because we want you to start. So by the end of the year, when you do look back and you have a few journal entries or hopefully a lot of them, you can actually look back and see how much you've grown.
Maybe that should be the title for this podcast episode, Embrace the Embarrassment.
Yeah. And I like what Rob said there as well. One tweak a week. That's a new phrase that we have here at Asian Efficiency that was mentioned on the Do the Damn Thing call when we did that last time on planning your perfect week. One tweak a week. That's all you need. That's 52 tweaks a year. That's a lot of change.
All right. So our four tips for being consistent at journaling. Number one, define your purpose for journaling. Number two, pick a medium that you enjoy. Number three, make it a routine. And our bonus fourth tip is to regularly review your journal entries. So we like to end every episode with a set of action items. So number one, what we'd like you to do is decide how and when you're going to start journaling if you don't already. And if you already do journal, what's that one tweak a week that you can make to make it better and tie it more to your productivity? Number two, to join, if you are interested, to join the June DTDT session about journaling. So go to theproductivityshow.com/implement. And number three, if you want to check out the show notes where we have links to everything we talk about here, go to theproductivityshow.com/301. So thank you so much, Tan, and thank you everybody for listening. At Asian Efficiency, we believe that you shouldn't have to sacrifice your personal life to get stuff done. You should be able to get everything done in the time that you have. That's why we've built a productivity quiz to help you maximize the time you have, increase your energy, and get you more focused. We've helped tens of thousands of people increase their productivity, and within 2 minutes of taking the productivity quiz, we'll show you exactly what you need to do next to increase your productivity. To take the quiz, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Don't let your never-ending to-do list drag you down and stop sacrificing your health and family to get stuff done. Take the quiz today and you'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us an iTunes review or a star in Overcast. Thanks so much for joining us and we'll see you next Productive Monday.